Let us turn to our first hymn, hymn number 610, this wonderful hymn of Isaac Watts. My thoughts surmount these lower skies and look within the veil. There springs of endless pleasure rise. The waters never fail. Let us worship the Lord together. Let us bow together in prayer. Let us seek the Lord. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, on this glorious Lord's Day morning, we approach Thy holy presence and bow our hearts before Thee, realizing, O Lord, of who Thou art, the sovereign ruler of the skies, the gracious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give Thee thanks, O God, for this day, the Lord's Day, this day that has been set aside by Thyself for Thy worship, for this public gathering. Lord, we thank Thee that throughout the ages, the saints of God They have done what we are doing this day. They have come and worshiped the Lord. And Lord, we pray that our worship might be acceptable in thy sight. O gracious God, our heart's desire is that we would worship thee aright, that we would worship thee both in truth and in the spirit, that we our hearts might be right with thee and filled with thy spirit. O gracious Lord, come amongst us, work in our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to go to him in our hearts, bowing before him. And, O Lord, we pray that as we come to hear the word, that there will be a word in season for our souls. O gracious God, have thy way. Have thy way with us, we who are so needy, we who are so need the grace of God and the word of God applying to our hearts by thy Spirit. Lord, be gracious to us. We think about those, O Lord, who cannot be here with us. We pray for those who are laid aside and ask thee that thou wouldst undertake for them. We thank thee, O God, that thy saints do not have to be meeting simply in one place, but the Lord is with us wherever we are. Thy word is with us. And we thank thee for this book that we have in our hands, the word that the Lord gave. And Lord, we are thankful to be able to come to a place where it is published and broadcasted and proclaimed. We thank thee, O God, it is a place that the gospel is preached each Lord's Day. And O gracious Lord, we pray that even this day, our hearts and minds would come again to this word, not in a cold and lifeless way, but filled with the Spirit of God, come and be warmed and made alive again. O gracious Lord, we live in a land and we live in a time where the word is cast away, where there is darkness in many places, darkness in the House of Parliament, darkness in the pulpits, darkness in the homes and schools and universities. In every place that there should be light, it seems to be darkness. But, O Lord, we thank thee that the Lord has his people. The Lord has a band of people. And here he says to us, fear not, little flock. In his day, the people who truly followed him were called a little flock. And he calls us to little flock. We pray, Lord, that the Savior might be magnified. And that even as we come to remember his dying love to us in taking part in the Lord's Supper, we pray that it will be a time of refreshing, a time of meditation, a time of thanksgiving and glorying in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks, O Lord, for all who are here this day. We thank thee for the churches that they represent. We realize, O God, that they have gone through various trials as well. And we pray, O Lord, that they will be encouraged, looking unto Jesus, being blessed by the knowledge that Jesus Christ is with us. And as we follow his footsteps, he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst also forgive us our sins. Since yesterday we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed. We have, O Lord, gone from thee and have been filled with unbelief. Also we have been idle, O God. We have not thought upon thee as we should have done. We have not glorified and magnified the Savior as we should have done. We have talked more of men rather than the Son of Man. We have spoken more about the words of men than the words of God. O gracious Lord, cleanse thou us, we pray, and cause us even this day to speak more about Jesus, to think more about his love and his truth. And O Lord, may we keep this day, remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. Help us this day, we pray, and we ask thee that thou wouldst bless and answer our prayers for other churches too, the faithful flocks of God scattered throughout this land and beyond, we pray. We think about thy servants who minister in difficult situations, ministering in persecuted lands, amongst the persecuted flocks. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst undertake for each missionary, each worker. We ask thee, remember, O Lord, those that are in bonds. Help us now, O Lord. We have such a wonderful Savior who came into this world of sin. He came to live that perfect life on our behalf. And, O Lord, we thank thee that he has knitted for us a robe of righteousness. And he calls us this day to look and put it on, that wonderful righteousness of Jesus Christ. We pray that this day we might magnify the Lord together and rejoice in our hearts, for our Lord reigns and rules. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is alive to the glory of his Father. We pray that thou wouldst bless, help, and cause us, O Lord, to meet again later on. For Jesus' sake we ask thee. Amen. Let us turn to the Word of God. I want to turn your attention today, throughout the two meetings, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. Let us read the Word of God together. Verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not. For God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Amen. Let us now sing once more hymn number 155. 155. Wonderful hymn again. One there is above all others. Well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond the brothers, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love.
Deserves the name of friend.
Well, I would like to thank our brother for his words of welcome. It is good to be amongst God's people. It is good to be especially amongst like-minded people of God and feeling at home here amongst you. It is a joy, and I bring you greetings as well from Providence Chapel in Cheltenham, where the Lord has set me to minister his word. I would ask you to turn with me, please, to that portion that we read together in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And as you have the word before you, let us briefly bow before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we give thee thanks that thy word is true. And let every man be a liar. For when God speaks his truth. And sinners like us must take heed. For these are the words of life. These are the words that have been settled in heaven. These are everlasting words. And we pray that by thy Spirit, thou wouldst cause these words to come alive, that the sword might be used, the double-edged sword of God. And may it, like a surgeon's knife, cut the things that offend thee, O Lord. Cut the things that are damaging to us and thy church, and cause us by thy word to live unto God, unto thy glory. Help us now in the preaching and in the hearing of thy truth. For we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
My subject this morning and throughout the day in the two meetings, the Lord willing, will be on the Christian Sabbath or the Lord's Day. It's a subject which I feel it is an important subject that needs to be brought before the people of God regularly, especially in our day. And I find for myself as well, personally, that the reason I lack so much throughout the week is because of me not spending and keeping the Lord's Day in the way that he has set. I have not fed upon the word. I have not meditated upon Christ. And then on Monday morning, I get involved in things and not realizing I have not been fed. I have not been nourished. And I feel it is the same way for other people, other believers. For today, or this morning, my intention is to simply show what this fourth commandment is. You have it in verses 8 and 9. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I want to speak this morning. What is this? What is this Sabbath day? It is one of the positive commands in the Ten Commandments. It is the command which begins with the words, remember, remember the Sabbath day. Why does the Lord say remember? It presumes, the Lord sadly presumes that the people who hear these words tend to forget it. They tend to forget it, so he begins to emphasize it by starting and saying, remember it. Remember it. Don't forget it. And we have to say today, how many do remember the Sabbath day? How many are there in this world who remember the Sabbath day as God has set it? And sadly, how many of God's people? How many of us do truly keep the Sabbath day? So let us begin first of all by asking the question, what is this commandment? What is this commandment to remember the Sabbath day? Let me read it again, as I will be coming to it again and again throughout this day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Here we must see from this command that we are to keep this day holy. The Lord says holy. It means to set it aside. The Lord himself has set it aside for us. And one day in seven is to be kept as the holy Sabbath. And that word means to rest. The day of rest unto the Lord himself. The Jews under the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, they had the seventh day set apart as the day of Sabbath. And that was by God's arrangement. And that was to keep that day holy. But remember as well that there were other Sabbaths that the Lord had commanded the Jews to keep. There were those days of a special Sabbath, a special feast days, special days of celebration, special days of sacrifices. There was the Day of Atonement, and there was the days of special offerings, the Old Testament rituals. But my friends, they are now gone. They are now gone. Jesus Christ, our Lord, in himself and through himself, he has fulfilled it. And my friends, then from that we can know that it is a dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has finished those and done away with those Old Testament Sabbaths and feast days. It is a dishonor to him if he were to simply keep them again. And there are some Christians, unlearned, who profess the name of Christ, and yet they seem to go back and practice those days of feasting and those Sabbaths. We cannot do them perfectly. We cannot keep them perfectly. But the Lord Jesus Christ kept them fully, and now they are gone. Now they are finished in him. We are, friends, yet morally bound to one day that the Lord has kept for us, even to this day. We are, all of us, are bound, morally bound to keep it, from the youngest person to the oldest person. Sad it is in these days, even amongst believers. They let the children, it's as if there is different law for the children, that the children can do this, the children can do that, the children can do all kinds of things that they always have done throughout the week. They still can do those things. And it surprises me sometimes when people are strong on certain other doctrine, and yet when we go and visit on the Lord's Day, we see that there is a different law set for the children. Here I do not say that the day should be a miserable day, a day of simply a somber day. No, it should be a full day, but it should be set aside. It should be a day that is different to the rest of the week. It's a day that is a spiritual day. The seventh day of the week. the Sabbath day. It was kept by the Jews. And so we are told, even, it says in verse 10, in it, who shall take part in this? There's in it, thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. It involves everybody. It involves everything that we have been using throughout the week. It involves the cattle, it involves the ox, it involves the all the instruments that we have been using throughout the week. It should stop. The Old Testament Sabbath was on the seventh day of the week, but now under the new covenant, we have the first day of the week. And so it is the first day of the week is the Christian Sabbath. The command is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It doesn't say remember the seventh day to keep it holy. It says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so, you know, it is a moral standard which has influenced people in general throughout the world for all times. This is something that the Lord has put in our hearts, in the sinner's hearts, from the beginning. And so when you visit pagan lands and nations that have no knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you notice that they have certain special days set aside for either rest or some pagan worship. The atheists have their times of resting from their daily labors. But my friends, we have a revealed religion. The Jews and the Christians, we have a revealed truth. And God says to us, remember the Sabbath day. And in those words, you see, he's supposing that it was already in operation. It was already active in the lives of his people. And God appoints his day of worship. And it is not the people themselves that appoint it. It is God appoints it. It's not the churches. It's not the state. It's not any religious body that has appointed this day, or especially the first day of the week now. No one has appointed it except God himself. And in this command, this command does certain things by setting this command before us. The Lord wants us to remember certain things. The first thing is, it puts a special honor on the Sabbath, which is above any other days. It puts a special honor on the Sabbath itself. So the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But friends, when people make their own special days, they tend to have more respect for those days and make sure that they don't miss that. But the Sabbath is brought low. The Sabbath is abased. There are many who set certain other holy days, so-called, aside, and they spend time preparing for it, spend time gathering things for it, thinking about it, talking about it, preparing themselves for it. But for God's day, people forget it. Or they are not consistent in keeping it holy, saying that, by saying this from the New Testament, we have certain days, we have certain fasting and days of prayer. We have to remember there are certain passages in the Word of God that speaks about the church set aside certain days. For example, when they were to appoint the men in Acts chapter 6, the origin of the deacons and also the elders, they set aside days of fasting and prayer, the scripture says, or for some special issue. There was church meetings there were certain times set aside for that. And in other times of God's providences, then there was a need to stop and come together to read the word and to hear it preached, and as we had done yesterday, days of thanksgiving for some deliverance, some special act of God. We see those things in the word of God, but they are not holy days. They are not holy days. They are not binding on any of God's people. And it is absurd to think that God has taken a great yoke of keeping many feast days from the church's neck to let people take up their own feast days and be burdened with their own days. It is foolish. It is absurd even to think of it. So the Lord puts a special honor on the Sabbath day by emphasizing it in these verses. He's taken, for some other commands, he takes just, thou shalt not kill. And in the Hebrew, that simply is two words. But for the Sabbath, he's taken, in our Bibles, four verses. He was emphasizing it in a special way because he wants to show that there is a great honor given to this day. Then another reason why he has mentioned it is because we have to see that what is binding on everyone is one day is seven, and is to be a holy Sabbath. In verse 9, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So the quantity of time that God wants for a special rest day for worship and spiritual blessing and also physical rest to some extent as well is just 1/7 of your time. 1/7. Imagine. God could have asked for all of your time, but he says just 1 out of 7, just 1. How gracious God is. And this is morally binding on everyone, not just on Christians, but on everyone, for every age. Why? Because this commandment is part of the Ten Commandments. And no one thinks that it is a good idea to break any of the other commandments. And so we shouldn't leave this fourth commandment out. Jesus Christ our Lord, he said that this is going to be something for all time. In Matthew 5 and verses 17 to 19, Matthew 5, he says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It is not necessarily a Jewish law, the Sabbath, because it was also given a long time before this occasion on the Mount of Sinai. It was given by God to Adam when Adam was still innocent, in his state of innocency in the Garden of Eden. And before there were other ceremonies and other days that were given to the Jewish nation. Specifically, this one day was set aside in Genesis 2 and verse 3. The Lord commands Adam, after creating all things, he specifically says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." That means to set it aside, made it a holy day, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So this is what God did himself. Also, the idea of a holy day of rest is mentioned by our Lord Jesus Christ, to that it will continue. It will continue to the end. Even after the Jewish day Sabbath is gone, that there will be a day set aside that it will continue. That there will be a day of rest from our normal labors for the worship of God. And when he refers to the end times and before his coming, he says, for example, in Matthew 24 and verse 20, he says, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Strange thing, isn't it? The Lord is not referring to the Jewish Sabbath, the seventh day. No, he says there will be at that final day, "My people, you pray that your flight, your journey may not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, on the day that you have to rest from your labors for my worship. Pray that it will not be on that day." So God gives the Sabbath a special honor, and God separates one day out of seven. But the final thing to say by way of explanation of the Sabbath day is that the day that we are commanded to keep holy is a whole complete day. It's a whole complete day. It's not just a few hours. When you come to the worship of God in a building like this, into a chapel building. But it is for the whole day. And we have to remind ourselves this. The Christian Sabbath begins when the old Jewish Sabbath ends. And you know when it ended? On the morning of the first day of the week. You say, "Where is your proof?" I'll show you the proof in Matthew 28 and verse 1. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." At the end of the old Sabbath, the beginning of the week, when it began to dawn, they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you remember, they came to the tomb and the stone had been rolled away. The tomb was empty. The Lord had risen. That's when it begins. The beginning of the day. The first day of the week, it says. So already, under the Roman rule, the first day was this day. Our Sabbath is held, my friends, in the memory of Christ's resurrection. And it is very clear that the Lord Jesus, he rose early in the morning of the first day of the week. He rose to rest from his labors as well. He rose to keep the day. What a wonderful thought that is. The Lord Jesus Christ rising from his tomb, rising from death. giving the Lord the full day. Don't think that you or your children are keeping the day as long as you are in a church building. Even though we live in a society that does not have any regard for this day, we are called, my friends, to keep the Lord, be different from the world, and keep the Lord's day holy. Sadly, there are some Christians, they say, oh, I'll keep it from when I get up in the morning. And you have in my student days, there were some people who would say, well, I'll keep it from when I get up. And do you know what time they would get up? 11, 12, midday they would get up, and they would say, oh, I'm keeping it from now on till about 10 o'clock at night, and that's it. It is, my friend, we reduce the time that we ought to give to the Lord, and the Lord has given the day for us. So let us get up, be prepared, go to bed early. These are all the applications we have to apply to our own hearts. Go to bed early the night before. I know sometimes it is very difficult. And get up in a good time to prepare ourselves in the morning for the worship of God, to nourish ourselves and our families. If you're a father, and also if you're a husband, I will say to you, it is your responsibility under God to bring your families together. Sit with your children, with your wife. If you do not have children, it doesn't make any difference. You bring yourselves together, prepare yourselves, you read the word of God, you have worship in your own homes. This is to keep the day holy, to prepare yourself for the worship, the public gathering of the saints. All of these things ought to be done, my friend. This is part of the keeping. This is something separate from other days of the week. You emphasize this day of beauty and glory, this day of blessing, that the Lord has given it to you. He's given it to you. It's not for him specifically. It's for man. The Sabbath was given for man. So now let us move on to a second thing. I want to answer a question. Which day out of the seven has God given us to be the weekly Sabbath? Which day is it? It's an easy thing for us. We think, why have I put this in? The reason is because there is so much confusion still amongst God's people, sadly. And there are all kinds of people who I have met in my short Christian life who are so confused about this. And they don't know how to answer. Why was it that the day changed? Well, the old writers would write something like this. From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God had appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath. So from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, there was the seventh day of the week was to be the weekly Sabbath. And the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. Well, everyone knows that the seventh day Sabbath was a Jewish Sabbath. So we have not only the fourth commandment, but other verses to show that Sabbath was the last day of the week, the seventh day. In our English calendar and word, is the Saturday. Why was that day chosen by God? Why not the first day? Why didn't he choose the first day right from the beginning? Why the seventh day? That's a legitimate question to ask. Because God says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and he rested on the seventh day. That is why he chose the seventh day. He worked 6 days and he rested the seventh day. That is the reason why he set aside the seventh day of the week. So in the first new day that Adam saw was a holy day. It was a day of rest.
a Sabbath. Adam saw the Sabbath day.
So Adam would have to then think on that first day of his life for the purpose of his life. What was his purpose of his life? It was to serve God, serve the Lord. That's how he began his week. And God set it the seventh day to point out that Jehovah is the creator. He's the creator who made all things. And on the seventh day, he rested from his creating work. That he has made us. That's why it was the seventh day. That God, Jehovah, he has made us. And that he has rested on the seventh day. That we ought to worship him. That we ought to serve him. But then the question comes back. Well, then why the Christians changed that day? Has the church or some old councils or some old authorities changed it to the first day, which is in our English calendar is the Sunday? Is it in the Bible that the day changed? Well, if you simply look at the wordings of the fourth commandment, all it says is that the Sabbath was the seventh day. That's it. Seventh day. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It was only one out of seven. It doesn't say that it was the last day of the week. In the Old Testament, that was the last day of the week. That was Saturday. And God who designed this, designed which day it was, he also has the right to change not the Sabbath, but change the day on which it falls. He can do that if he wishes to. And when he substitutes a new day, then the old one is gone. We don't keep the old one. But why do we believe this change of the day was made from the Old to the New Testament? Because the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because the Lord was resurrected. That first day of the week, when the Lord Jesus, he rose from the dead, the work for our redemption and salvation, that was completed. Let me give you some proofs for this. The first proof that I want to bring to you to show that the day, the seventh day Sabbath, was to be changed to the first day is from the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 118 and verse 24. The psalmist says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." What is that day? The psalm is to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the psalmist says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. For thou hast heard me. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The day of the Messiah's resurrection. That was the subject of this psalm. Earlier, it speaks of the Messiah who became triumphant. He was rejected. The builders refused him. But he has now become the head of the stone of the corner, the psalmist says. And so he says, on this day, we will rejoice and be glad in it. On this day that the Lord has made, on this day of his resurrection, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We won't have the time to go through this psalm now, but you can do that in your own time. That means that we will celebrate it as a happy day. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of thankfulness for the work of redemption. And it is generally accepted as well that when Ezekiel, in Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 43 and verse 27, he mentions the days of the Messiah in Ezekiel 43 and verse 27, that it is to this first day, Sabbath, that he refers to. Let me read it to you. "And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day," doesn't say seventh day, it says eighth day, the one after the seventh, "and so forward, the priests shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God." The first day of the week, the Sunday, as we call it, is the eighth day, the day after the seventh Sabbath. And on the eighth day, the Christians publicly, this is a prophecy, it's to do with the priests, who are the priests, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They publicly go to offer up their thanks and worship to the living Messiah, who is their burnt offering, who is their peace offering. And the sacrifice of Christ is remembered in the way that he is appointed, in the Lord's Supper. And when the believers remember, these prophecies are fulfilled. On the eighth day, it says. On that day, the work of charity and mercy are to be done. Isaiah speaks of the Messiah resting in Isaiah 11 and verse 10. Talks about the Messiah who was to be resting. And it says, his rest shall be glorious. Like the Father resting after he created everything, so his Son also rests from the work of redemption. He gets a public glory from the redeemed people on the first day of the week. We must also remember and not forget the passage in Revelation 1 and verse 10 that we are told that of the Apostle John, how he was on the Isle of Patmos and that he was in the Spirit. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." That's how Christians called that day. It couldn't be the Jewish Sabbath, because that was always called the Sabbath. The New Testament speaks about that Sabbath as being gone. In Colossians 2, in Colossians 2 and verses 16 to 17, Colossians 2:16, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days." It simply is Sabbath. You see that the word days is in italics, which means in the original it doesn't exist. So it could be read "or of the Sabbath." It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in not keeping these feasts that were set for the Jewish nation." And then it goes on to say, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." The very fact that it is called the Lord's Day in the Scriptures, it speaks of an institution, something that is established, like the Lord's Supper itself. This is the Lord's Supper that we shall take part of. But also John says it's the Lord's Day. It was the practice of the apostles and the early Christians to observe this first day of the week instead of the seventh day. So you have in the words of the apostle John in his gospel. And chapter 20 and verse 19, he talks about a gathering together. Gathering together for prayer, and then Christ comes in their midst. It says in verse 19 of John 20, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, were the disciples assembled." And then it says, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You see, the disciples gathering, specifically it says on the first day of the week. It had become, it was to become a practice by them. Because then it goes on in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20 and verse 7. We see the disciples coming together again. So in John's Gospel, it wasn't an accident. They had come to see this. And in Acts, it had carried on amongst the disciples to break bread, partake of the Lord's Supper together. In John 20, or Acts 20 and verse 7, it says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. So preaching went with the breaking of the bread, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So he was ready to depart on the morrow. On tomorrow he was going to depart and go his way. So many Christians, they are ready to depart on the Lord's day. They're ready to depart, go on their holidays and book this and book that on the Lord's day. But Paul said, no. It may be the ship might have been cheaper on the first day of the week. We don't know. I'm putting these things in this. But he could have had all kinds of reasons for going on that day, but he said no. He had made up his mind. It's the wording for ready to depart. It means he had already prepared beforehand, thought about it. He wasn't going to depart after the meeting to go on his journey. He was going to go on tomorrow, the day after, on Monday, he was going to leave. So then it says he continued preaching to them. On the first day of the week, they also gathered for collection of the Lord's blessing to them. You have the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Apostle Paul, he instructs the church in verses 1 and 2. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So he's saying there on the collection for the saints, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. The Sabbath is part of God's moral law, and for that reason it demands that all people everywhere, from the youngest to the eldest, to keep the Sabbath day under the new covenant. In our rebellion, we will one day to have to give an account to the Creator and the Redeemer. To us, His redeemed people, what a day this is. The day of the Lord. It is the day of days. It is the beginning of our week. The Puritans called it the market day of the soul. It's the day that you come buy and give the spiritual things. The day when normal businesses stops and they did business with God. We ought to do business with God, trading in things of spiritual. This is how we ought to pass this day. The Lord Jesus Christ, He taught that the Sabbath was made for the good and the benefit of His people. And those who do not keep it heartily are worse off because of it. They don't keep it joyfully, and they don't delight in it. My friend, if you do not do that, you are worse off. And your families and our churches are worse off. Friends, let your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, let your meditation and communing with Him show itself by the way you praise, pray, hear, fellowship, on this privileged day, the Christian Sabbath, and maybe today do business with God and go back to God and recommit again that on this day we will set it aside for ourselves and for our families, and may it be a blessing to us for the rest of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now sing together hymn number 38, based on this theme: Blessed morning, whose first dawning rays beheld the Son of God arise triumphant from the grave and leave his dark abode. Gracious God, we give thee thanks for every remembrance of this day. The Lord did more miracles. He did more blessing on the Sabbath than any other day. And Lord, our souls have been blessed over many years of receiving ministry and hearing thy word preached. And, O gracious God, bless us this day, we pray. And as we now partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray that our hearts and minds will be right before thee. Help us, we pray, to magnify our risen Savior, to glorify our exalted Lord, and may we know the hand of God upon us and our children, forever and ever, for Jesus' sake. Amen.